All right, we continue with you this morning here on News Radio WRVA. It's 8:05 here in Richmond, Virginia. It's a short week. We have 4th of July off, Independence Day, so we're moving everything up just a little bit. Normally on Thursdays, we catch up with the former governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia, Ambassador Jim Gilmore. We're going to do it today and tomorrow, so I get a bonus day of Governor Gilmore, and he joins us this morning on News Radio WRVA. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Rich. Glad to have a chance to be on today and maybe even tomorrow, too. It'd be great.
Listen, if I can hang out with you every day, I'd like to. You might get tired of me, but every time I hang out with you, I learn something new. So the more I get to hang out with Governor Gilmore, the better it is for me. Wanted to get your thoughts last night. Unity rally, Northern Virginia. All three candidates standing on stage together. All three with different messages. Wanted to get your thoughts.
Well, again, I think that all three are different people. I think they're different kind of candidates. Just because you've earned the Republican nomination doesn't make all three people identical. But it's perfectly clear from the rally that they're all supporting each other and supporting the Republican direction for the Commonwealth of Virginia, as was Governor Youngkin. So, I mean, I think we need to remember Governor McAuliffe and the other Democratic governors whose names escape me, but they have a particular direction and track record, and the Republican governors have a track record. So the public has to choose the direction for the Commonwealth. I mean, I think there'll be an effort to tie this to national issues, and while Republicans support the national issues, they're not defined by them.
Can Democrats be defined by them? You look at the gentleman that they nominated in New York for mayor of New York about his I keep saying we use the word radical too much because he kind of is a Democrat in the direction that party's going. Can you attach the current state of the Democratic Party and the direction they're going to a gubernatorial candidate in Virginia?
Well, I think you can. I think that the guy running in New York for city mayor is a bit of a crackpot, and I'm not sure that that's going to go anywhere. I guess he's a crackpot. I guess if people are in favor of socialism, they would think the guy is just great. But once again, the public has to define whether that's really better for the country, better for New York, or better for Virginia. One thing that our ticket is unified in Virginia, it is not a socialist ticket. As for the Democrats, well, I think they're harder to define, frankly. We don't really know the people in the second and third spots. We do know Spanberger, and I think she has to be judged on her conduct and what she has said in the past. Personally, I think that she's been a loyal supporter of the more leftward direction of the Democratic Party. But you see, I'm a long-term, lifelong Republican and former Republican governor. And so my views are well-defined, and people don't have to agree with me either.
You know, I've been a Republican my entire life, save but 2 weeks, Governor. I've said this on the air before. When I first got to college, I didn't know the difference between Republicans and Democrats. I knew I liked Ronald Reagan, but I didn't know what party he was. And when I went to go register, there was a cute girl registering people to vote. And I said, I don't know what party. And she goes, and she smiled at me. She looked up, she battered her eyes, and she goes, you should check Democrat. And I said, yes, and you should give me your phone number. And she did. And I checked Democrat. And then 2 weeks later, I started my first economics class. And I learned the difference between the two, and I quickly went and re-registered. So I've been a lifelong Republican, save but 2 weeks because she was awfully pretty.
Well, I don't know about that. Did you call her?
No, I never got a chance to go out with her. And if she found out that I became the president of the College Republicans, it would have been done anyway. So I wanted to ask. I don't think it would have lasted that long.
This is more than I want to know about Rich Herrera's dating scene,
I wanted to ask you this. How big of a job is it to run for governor of the Commonwealth? You've been through this, what Winsome Sears is just beginning to go through, this stretch run that you go from 4th of July to Election Day. Can you describe to us the amount of work that it takes and everything that goes into this?
Well, there are a couple of things I'll say to you. The first is the actual work itself of being a candidate is brutal. And the reason is that the Commonwealth is just so big. It is true that if you concentrate your efforts all the way from Fairfax down to Virginia Beach through the Richmond area, you're talking to the majority of Virginians. But I never took the position that people west of Charlottesville shouldn't be considered. My theme was a time for all Virginians, and that included people in the West and rural communities, African-Americans and everybody else, because I was trying to join people up. There's been a lot of talk this morning about American patriotism, which we can address. But my goal was, with respect to Virginia patriotism, was to have some identity for the state and to have it move in a particular direction. So, again, I would urge your voters this year to really focus on the direction. But it's a very punishing job to run for governor. Now, the other aspect is there are technical things you got to think about. Well, the first and foremost is fundraising. Donors are slow to donate if they don't think you're going to win. So you got to get up to speed in the polls, or donors will lose heart. It's very easy to talk to a donor about direction, but many of them will just want a winner. I think Winsome Earle-Sears can win this race. She's going to have to be as high profile as she can and draw a contrast between herself and her Democrat opponents, Spanberger.
How hard is it to ask people for money to donate? Because the Democratic machine, they're very good at raising money. $5 million came in for the Democratic Governors Association for Spanberger's campaign. How much of an uphill climb is it on the GOP side to raise the type of money that you have to buy the ads to be in everywhere?
Well, it doesn't have to be an uphill climb. It was fine for me and fine for Allen, and we both won. And I think that and McDonald, he won. So it doesn't have to be an uphill climb. But I think that as long as she runs vigorously, stands by her principles, and talks to people across the Commonwealth, I think she's going to do fine. We're running an African-American candidate. This is a remarkable achievement in my view. And I think she's a person of principle, and she is going to support the ticket, or she wouldn't have appeared at the rally last night in any case if she wasn't. So I think it's going to be a unified ticket. Jason Meares is the incumbent attorney general. He's done a good job as attorney general. I was attorney general, so I know he's done a good job, and I think he's worthy of re-election. I believe he will be re-elected.
So here's the interesting thing for me. I've been studying this last election between Joe Biden / Kamala Harris and the president. In all the books that I read, they talk about big events, big moments that capture the imagination. Can you describe what it's like to try to be able to have one of those big events where you capture the imagination of busy people and they go, oh, wait a minute, I think I can see Jim Gilmore as governor of the state of Virginia?
Well, again, I had been the attorney general, so I had a track record there. And, you know, it was not without controversy, but I think people concluded I was a good attorney general and therefore be a good governor. But let's get real here. What really happened was that we decided we wanted to run on a tax cut for the people of Virginia to give them more of their own money. And we came upon the car tax, and realized the impact that it was having just on regular working people. People everywhere across the Commonwealth have cars in order to get to and from work. African-Americans go to their work and their jobs, and they felt the tax very acutely. So that's really what happened. So I've taken the position that I think that Winsome Earle-Sears needs an issue. I don't think I've really seen any issue yet out of the Democrats. Spanberger, I suppose, that will emerge at some point. But if she's going to run on the national Democratic ticket, she's probably going to lose in Virginia. So she's probably going to play it pretty coy. In the meanwhile, I think that Winsome Earle-Sears should find her issue. Certainly right to work is one of those issues. Spanberger, when she was confronted with right to work, said, don't worry, I won't get rid of all of it. I thought that was an astounding statement for her to make. I think right to work is going to be troubled if she's elected governor. And then, of course, there are other issues as well that we're going to have to face.
I have about 60 seconds here before we have to get to our financial update, Governor. The poll that we've been talking about this morning, whether you're proud to be an American, I've never been more proud to be an American, whether I have a Republican or a Democrat in the governor's mansion or the White House. I wanted to get your thought on people that it seems like their pride might be waning just a bit.
Well, look, I saw the poll, and it's not that the Democratic Party, I think, is not patriotic. I think the people who are not patriotic seem to gravitate to that party. They seem to be unhappy, and they gravitate to that party. But look, the bottom line is that I've been on this show for years, expressing my grave concerns about the international war situation. And, you know, there may come a time here when Russia and China and Iran just push it. And if they push it, there's going to be a need for Americans to be unified. And right now, the Russians and Chinese are doing everything they can do to encourage groups in this country to create divisions, to weaken the American people, to eliminate their patriotism, to not have them believe in their own country, so that when the time comes to fight for their country, they won't want to do it. And I worry about that kind of thing very much. By the way, I just saw an article in Denmark. Denmark is now doing conscription, and they are including in that the conscription of women. And the result of that is going to be a unified but very small army. But these are the people who are going to end up being the officers and non-commissioned officers in a new Danish army if the Russians keep pushing. And they're going to end up being an example, I think, for the rest of Europe as well. And they should be an example for America. I think we have to get ready here. This conflict is underway, Rich. It's not just coming. We're coming, but we may not have any interest in war, but war has an interest in us. And I'm really worried about it, and I'm concerned about it, and I'm going to continue to rally people as we look at the events that are going on in Ukraine, which in my view is the pivot on which the future turns.
I'll reference Will Rogers, said America's the only people that don't get ready for war after the war has already started, meaning that even back at that time, Will Rogers echoed what you're saying, or you're echoing what Will Rogers saying about you have to be prepared. That's peace through strength. Governor, thank you so much. I can't wait to catch up with you tomorrow. I do want to talk about Benjamin Netanyahu's trip to the United States after Independence Day and the latest that we have out of Europe and in the Middle East. So we'll catch up with you tomorrow as well.
I'm counting on 8:35 tomorrow morning. Thanks for the chance to continue to speak to your listeners.
Yes, sir. Governor Jim Gilmore, our guest here on News Radio WRVA.